he came to power not long after the end of the Soviet Union. There was a period of about 2 years where they had quite a good government in Belarus. Then Lukashenko came into power. He won the elections. This is actually the third time that he's been elected president. And of course, you're only under the constitution of Belarus and most of these former Soviet states only allowed to run for president twice. But he changed the constitution so he could run a third time. And in elections that were widely condemned as being fraudulent, he got in and was re-elected. What is very clear is that the opposition candidates were not allowed to mount any sort of public campaign. They had no television or radio airspace. Opposition leaders were quite often locked up for any sort of demonstration. Newspapers were closed down, opposition newspapers. So there was virtually nothing that was accessible to the public prior to the election except Lukashenko's own election campaign. So that was really the bulk of how he managed to get in this time. I mean, there's no doubt that Lukashenko does have a certain following and a certain popularity in Belarus, but much of that is put down to his propaganda machine.
What's going on now, then, that the world is starting to focus back on Belarus?
Well, of course, the human rights violations, which are quite considerable, are the main alarm bell, if you like, in terms of the international community and its attention on Belarus at this stage. However, there's really a very central underlying reason that Belarus is considered a very dangerous regime, and that's their arms dealing operations. They're certainly in the top 10 arms dealers in the world in terms of countries, and they're a country that fuels conflicts. So where you've got United Nations embargoes, where you've got so-called rogue nations that are being put on watch lists for technology, for missile technology, you'll find Belarus in there actively trying to sell weapons. Specifically, we've decided to focus on the arms dealing. I think we're quite well aware of the human rights violations, and of course we did look into those and how they're linked to the weapons sales, because of course the money that is collected off weapons sales, and we're talking billions and billions of US dollars a year, is actually directly squirreled away and used to bolster the regime. And of course, in bolstering the regime, human rights violations become more frequent, and the regime becomes more arrogant every day. So it's certainly soldering its presence and making it very difficult for the outside world to really manage to change the human rights situation on the ground there. Now, they're trying to do that. The United States has now introduced economic sanctions. It's frozen bank accounts and that sort of thing. And they're really trying to up the ante on Belarus to make them take heed of the human rights situation and to give them a message that they're not going to tolerate it.
Belarus is a vibrant arms exporter. And when dictatorships are vibrant arms exporters, they are a threat to the entire international community. The United States is not going to sit idly by while the Lukashenko regime engages in reckless and dangerous arms sales. It is clear also that Lukashenko has benefited personally from the sale of arms that Belarus is engaged in. He has created a slush fund that is not accountable to the state budget.
How far will the US go in this instance in enforcing the hand of Lukashenko?
Well, look, I don't think we're talking a situation like Yugoslavia here. I don't think we're talking a situation like Iraq here. The main reason for that, of course, is the relationship with Russia and, of course, the fact that Belarus is very well armed itself. I mean, its western flanks are well equipped with S-300 missiles, which can shoot down any NATO or US aircraft. So I think in the short to long term, what you're going to see is economic sanctions, and perhaps the United States may bring this to the attention of the United Nations and try and bring some sort of international coercion to bear on Belarus, but I don't think you'll be seeing any sort of military threats at this stage.
Some might say that they could be a second-hand dealer for Russia or an offloading zone for Russia.
Absolutely, and I think that Russia needs to be very careful on occasions. I mean, it doesn't want to be seen, for instance, to be doing direct missile deals with Iran or supplying armoured personnel carriers into Sudan, into areas of conflict like Darfur. So the relationship between Russia and Belarus, while it's close on a political level, is also very close on the arms trading side of things. I mean, most of these weapons are actually sourced from Russia. Belarus buys the weapons. Sometimes they buy second-hand weapons from Russia. They modernise those weapons and then sell them off to other countries around the world. It uses Belarus, if you like, as a proxy sales agent so that these arms can get distributed through, and Belarus simply takes a cut off the deal.